Our word today is from Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. But God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Jesus Christ. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thank you, Jeff. Well, good morning. Welcome again to Living Water Church. We are finishing up our current sermon series that's been called Renewed. We've been discovering all the ways that God wants to renew our spirit. And so one of those things is the fact that we do have a spirit. We have that soul and spirit, and oftentimes it can become weary by circumstances. There's sometimes that sin that so easily can cling to us. And so we need to allow God to forgive us and be able to walk, repent and walk in new life. And then the next week, 2 weeks ago, Quentin preached about a renewed revelation. God wants to go on this journey with us, and we need prayer and Bible reading and worship, those foundational disciplines, to be able to be renewed in him. But then we also need to go on from that and add to things like extended time of solitude with him, go on a retreat from time to time, be sure we're taking time on Sundays, our Sabbath, to connect with God and be able to rest, and then just be able to slow down and simplify, so we can be sure we're staying in step with the Spirit. Last week I shared some thoughts about my trip to Cuba. That if you truly want to be renewed, we have to get past the obstacle of living life independent of God. Well, we have this tendency to rely on the stuff of this world to meet our needs rather than relying on God and staying in step with the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want us to focus on two more aspects of renewal. Renewing our purpose, and then also renewing our love. And if we're honest, we all need renewal from time to time. You know, we got to renew our driver's licenses, we have to renew our passport if we want to go outside the United States. Some even renew their marriage vows. When something is renewed, it gets new life, it gets a freshening up. But life has this way of making us get to a place where we just kind of feel stuck. Where we just feel like we're going through the motions and not really living that life, that free life in Jesus. And when we get to that place, we need to be renewed. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it said that last verse that Jeff read for us, that passage, that we are God's masterpiece. That he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Do you believe that? That we are God's masterpiece. Some translations say we're God's workmanship. The Greek word used there is poema. It means creation or that which is made. It's where we get the English word poem. We're God's handiwork. We're his creation. He dreamed us up. He's the author of our lives, and he is where our purpose comes from. And each of us need to embrace the idea that God made you on purpose and he made you for a purpose. There's a reason in the creation story that we see in the book of Genesis as God is creating each day, and at the ending of the day, God says, it is good. God takes great pride in his creation. He loves his creation. when he thinks about each one of us and the fact that we are in the image of him, he says that is good. And he's made us on purpose and for a purpose. Paul was created by God for a purpose. But Paul, when he was Saul, misinterpreted his purpose. He thought his purpose was to persecute anyone who didn't follow the religious rules that he believed kept people connected in a right relationship with God. He thought his purpose was to stomp out the Christian movement that thought that Jesus was the Messiah. However, Saul was the handiwork of God. And God had better plans for him than the destruction of the early Christians. And so the scriptures tells us that one day he was transformed forever and he was renewed. We see it in Acts chapter 9. The first couple of verses say, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation and the rest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. And so Saul was given permission to persecute anyone he found who was part of what was called the way. The way in the first century was how they described followers of Jesus. And Saul had a misplaced purpose. He had a misplaced meaning for life. He was missing the good work that God had planned for him a long time ago. He was not living up to his God-given potential. Maybe someone here today also feels like maybe you're not living up to that potential either. Have you ever thought you were following the wrong purpose in life? Back when I first started teaching music lessons and was going to various Christian schools teaching band, I began thinking I was following the wrong purpose for my life because that really wasn't paying all of my bills. So I decided, without talking about it with God first, because it just made so much sense to me at the time, that I'd start taking computer classes so I could switch my career to working with computers. And that decision turned out to be a disaster. God did not give me the ability to sit at a desk for hours staring at a screen, troubleshooting software issues. It just bored me to tears. It drove me absolutely crazy. I need variety in my work schedule. I was no longer following the purpose that God had designed for my life when I got that first computer job. After doing it just for a few months, I was let go of that job. And God had me again teaching in a school and working for a church and giving music lessons by the fall of that same year, because that was my purpose at that time. See, God has made you for a purpose and on purpose, and when you pursue a purpose different from his purpose for you, it's a misplaced purpose. And so have you ever followed or pursued the wrong purpose in life? Like I tried to with computers, or like Paul did when he was called Saul. You know, the scriptures don't really speak to whether Paul was at some kind of crossroads with his life's purpose when Jesus intervened. But we do know that God wanted to use Saul for something great. And it was going to take God's intervention to help him discover a better reason for living and a renewed purpose for his life. So, the beginning of Acts chapter 9, Paul is on his way to continue his persecution when something amazing happens. Starting in verse 3, it says, "As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked, and the voice replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The man with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. See, here you have in this story God's divine disruption, right? Jesus, whom Saul was persecuting, confronts Saul. Can you imagine? He's convinced that Saul, that Jesus died. He wasn't the Messiah. And all of a sudden, he's confronted by the very one he was convinced was not who he actually was. And he's knocked to the ground, and he's blinded by this great light. And God steps in to renew Saul's life by changing his plans and reorienting Saul around this brand new mission. What the scriptures speak to is that of disruption. It often takes disruption to get our attention and reorient our lives. For Saul, it was this bright light and a voice from heaven and blinded eyes. For us, it can happen in all kinds of ways. For me, it was getting fired from what I thought was my dream job. So I have these four balloons up here on the stage. I was going to try to tape it to this, but they would not cooperate. So I've got it this way, and they're kind of behaving for the moment. Something about the clingy and the, I don't know. Anyways, so don't breathe too hard, and hopefully they'll stay there for the next couple minutes. But here they're representing four things of misplaced purposes that a person might have. One of them is partying, you know, having the fun, pursuing just the high, the adrenaline of the things that partying represents, and how that can just take a person off course, time of what God's purpose is. Another balloon up here represents money, and some people, they just feel like that's their purpose, to make as much money as possible, to get the good job so they can work all the hours so they can get the nice car and the perfect house and the perfect family, and they believe that's their purpose. Other people, it's popularity. I just want to be liked by as many people as possible, and so you try to make people like you, and you do whatever it takes to get that popularity, to be the center of everyone's attention. And then another one on is relationships, where you just think, if I just have that right person in my life, then I'd be happy and I would feel complete. And so that person goes from relationship to relationship to relationship, looking for that perfect person that doesn't exist. And then God comes along with that divine disruption, and he says, partying is not there. That was the reaction I was looking for. You screamed so loud, my other balloon went down on the floor. And he talks about, you know, money down here. It's not going to make you happy. It's just not going to. Or you can try to go after the popularity, but eventually it's just not going to be there. Or maybe it's these relationships. No, it's not about relationships. And you have this divine disruption where God breaks in and says, I've got a better plan for your life. Okay, take a deep breath, those of you who didn't like that balloon popping. Saul's life was completely altered by Jesus' intervention. Jesus got in the way of Saul's old purpose. He had different plans for Saul. And Jesus cares for us enough to intervene in our lives as well. And God will use anything to help us discover his divine purpose for us in life. Continuing on in chapter 9, starting in verse 11, the Lord said, and this is talking to Ananias, go over the straight street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man named from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so he can see him again. Ananias is probably thinking, great, I can't get out of it now. But Lord, Ananias exclaimed, Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. Okay, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to make my message to the Gentiles and the kings as well as the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went, found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you must regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterwards, he ate some food and regained his strength. And so God uses this man named Ananias, who was a little bit reluctant about the idea, to help restore Saul's physical sight. God tells him to go where Saul is, lay his hands on him, and restore him. And this restoration wasn't just physical. The blindness, this was also a restoration, was spiritual as well, as he gets the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 15, the Bible says that Saul is God's chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles. I mean, well, what would it feel like to know that you are a chosen instrument of God for doing good in this world? Because I believe all of us are. So God has a plan for Saul, but that plan cannot happen if Saul is still focused on harming Christians. God uses many different ways to help us discover that renewed purpose for our lives. Sometimes God uses people to get us back on track. Sometimes he uses circumstances, and sometimes it's hardship. Sometimes he uses the Bible, or he sometimes uses opportunity. Either way, we have to keep our eyes and ears open to find that purpose for which he has made us. God made you for a purpose and on purpose. When you pursue a different purpose than one you were given, it's a misplaced purpose. And at this point, God gives us his divine disruption. And then the last step is that God provides a new path to purpose. And when he gives us that new path, we have to understand a couple of things. The first one is that God's renewed purpose will always align with what God has already stated in the Bible. He will never contradict his word as he has given us instruction. If it does, then that new path, that new purpose is not from God. It's from the enemy of our soul. And so with God's help, the Holy Spirit will help us to move into this new endeavor. You know, when I was teaching in East Liverpool, there was a teacher at that Christian school, and he became convinced that God was telling him he needed to divorce his wife, and this other lady needed to divorce her husband, and they needed to get married, and they were going to have this perfect marriage. And that was a plan from the enemy of his soul. It was a disaster for his life, because he became convinced it was a plan of God's. If it does not align with God's word, it's not from God. And so we have to do some discerning here. Second, a renewed purpose is almost something that we cannot do on our own. Right? We will need his involvement, we'll need his empowerment for us to be successful in whatever this new purpose is. Okay, a renewed purpose, it usually requires a step of faith. And if it's not a step of faith, and if we know that we can do it, then it's probably not God's purpose for us, because he's always going to be stretching us, and the Holy Spirit will help us as he guides us in this. And then third, a renewed purpose is often confirmed through our obedience. Rarely does God give us the entire picture at once. I wish he did, but he doesn't. Maybe we shouldn't know, because we might say, no way. All right, but living out God's purpose for our lives requires faith and means we've got to step out in order to find out. And it rarely makes sense when God asks us to take that step of faith. You know, it didn't make sense to Ananias to go to this man who was trying to wipe out Christianity and heal him. He probably thought, blindness, what a great idea, God. You know, and he didn't understand that it was something past that blindness that God had for Saul. Ananias probably couldn't even envision that Saul would become Paul and write 2/3 of the New Testament and all the missionary trips that he went on. If you find yourself wanting to argue with God because his request just doesn't seem very logical, that should be your first clue that you've heard from the Holy Spirit. It just is what I've experienced in my life. So after Saul is visited by Ananias, you know, which had to be scary, which had to have been just not make any sense to him, you know, Ananias, I want you to heal the guy that's trying to destroy the church. I imagine there had to have been some wrestling for him. But after Ananias visits Saul, he receives his sight and his entire life purpose change changes. He goes from trying to destroy the Christian movement to being the main contributor to the spread of it. And you may feel like you've gone too far, gone the wrong direction in your life. You may feel like God can't use you. You may feel like you just don't have anything to contribute. The life of Saul is a great example that God is never done with us. And he can use anyone for his kingdom purposes as we allow God to renew our purpose. The question to ponder this morning is whether God is wanting to renew your purpose. If he is, don't wrestle. Instead, surrender. On the other side of God stretching your life, you're going to find blessing and purpose you can't imagine right now, and you won't experience it until you say yes. Sometimes God needs to renew our spirit. You know, sometimes he needs to give us a new revelation for us to find renewal. Sometimes we need to renew obstacles like independence from God to find that renewal. Sometimes our purpose, it needs to be adjusted or completely changed, and sometimes the issue is our heart, what we truly love and value most. Because see, when we love something, it should be obvious, and we're eager to let other people know about that thing that we love. I mean, just think about the amount of energy that's spent on people who love their favorite sports team. I mean, you when you watch it, people will put elaborate outfits on and they'll cover themselves with paint and they'll just go crazy for their teams. There are other things that people love as well. And so just to kind of as a little break in this sermon, I want to encourage you. I'm going to put something up on the screen. And if you would say, this is something I love, I want you to stand up. And if the next thing isn't, then you can sit down. But I'm just kind of curious if some of these things are things that you love. Okay, so here's the first one. How many of you would say that you love cats? You know, I have a kitty cat at home. I'm going to say it's kind of a love-hate relationship going on. Sometimes I love him. Sometimes he's just like the spawn of devil himself. But, I see we have cats. Okay, now stay standing if you love this next one or you can sit down. But who would say that they love pizza? Pizza is just your favorite thing in this life, your favorite comfort food, all those carbs in one delicious setting. Right? Okay, pizza. Okay, this next one I think I'm going to get most of you, the beach. How many people would say, I love the beach, I wish I was at the beach instead of surrounded by snow and freezing cold temperatures? Okay, not quite everybody's up yet, but most people say they love the beach. Not everyone. Okay, how much this one? Who would say they love their morning cup of coffee or tea? Like you live for that morning cup of coffee or tea. You know, that is your thing that gets you through the day, the caffeine, the beautiful cup of coffee in the morning. Okay, one last one. Who would say that they love belly laughs? You know, the kind of laugh where you kind of lose control and your stomach hurts when you're done, but it was just like joy, joy, joy. All right, most people, okay. All right, you can sit down, but we can see that not all of us agree on the things that we love. But I think there's one thing that we can all agree with, that God is worthy of our love and affection because he first loved us. We ought to be eager to share that love with other people around us because that's what I've noticed. When you truly love something, it's obvious. Have you noticed this too? You know, when we love God, it should be obvious by the way we live and the things that we do and the things that we say and the things that we don't say. To be a follower of Christ. It is to be in love with God at the core of who we are. This means that our actions and our thoughts and the things that we do are dictated by his love. That means that all other things in our life pale in comparison to the love we have for God. You know, and so that is just who it should define us. Kyle Eidelman, the author of the book, Not a Fan, he says this, we love others best when we love God most. God designed us to have our lives flow from our relationship with him. We're created to find all that we need in this love relationship with him. And too often, we look for validation or significance or meaning or even value through seeking to love and have love returned to us And things like our sports teams or our cats or a slice of pizza or the stuff we own or our spouse or our children, when really that's what God is supposed to provide for us. And so the need for renewal comes when we start to neglect our relationship with God and other things steal our attention. We don't put God first. We almost always then put ourselves first, and then everyone else starts to suffer. I mean, I don't know if this is true about you, but I've discovered when God is not first in my life, I just become a very selfish person. When my attention gets shifted from God to myself and my needs, my wants, my rights, I begin to have I make some very bad decisions. I start to develop some rather ugly attitudes. I start to assume the worst about others. I start to allow this negative self-talk to invade my mind, and it just becomes rather difficult to forgive other people. And then the enemy of my soul now has me right where he wants me, trapped in self-centeredness. The final book of the Bible is a prophetic warning that is issued to the church in Ephesus. The book of Revelation is a book that's written to disclose what lies in the future so that God's people can be best prepared for it. And because of this, every warning that's given to the seven churches, including Ephesus, should be warnings that we take to heart. Chapter 2 of Revelation begins with praise for the church in Ephesus. They were praised for their deeds and hard work and for their perseverance. They're praised for identifying false apostles and protecting orthodox teaching. And then after all that praise, there's one issue that God has with this church. Revelation 2 verse 4 says, "But I have this one complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first." With all the good things in Ephesus that they were doing, they were forgetting something that maybe seemed insignificant, but it was utmost of importance. They had forgotten their first love. They had neglected the passion that had originally displayed for Jesus. They had lost their zeal. Other things had occupied their affection. And this is a warning for us as well, because see, a love neglected is a love that's lost. A relationship with God is very similar to a marriage. You know, and so when a couple first gets married, it's easy to keep the passion alive. Love is fresh and exciting, and neither spouse has to work hard to keep that fire going. The real test of a marriage takes place years after the couple says, "I do." You know, where that retains that deep love for another. You know, if they are able to do that, it's a couple who has created these healthy practices like date nights and open communication and doing acts of service for each other. Maybe you've been a Christian for some time. Do you remember what it was like when you first gave your life to God? I imagine you had some excitement. You probably talked about God a lot. You thought about God a lot. You read the Bible. You prayed often. But maybe somewhere along the way, your relationship with God just became comfortable, and other things took priority. And when this happens, sin, it begins to creep in, and we lose our God-given purpose. Have you ever wondered how you could have wandered so far to end up in the place where you find yourself? Perhaps it's because you lost that first love. And if this is you, then you need a renewed love for God. And so of all the disciples in the New Testament, Peter would have been the most zealous. He was passionate about following Jesus, and he was known sometimes for acting before he thinks. And his quick responses were usually a result for the love that he had for Jesus. And because of this, it comes as a shock that right before Jesus is arrested and put on trial and crucified, before that, Jesus predicts that Peter would deny that he even knew him three times. Wait, not Peter. He would never do such a thing. And yet he does. While Jesus is being taken into custody, he's led on this trial, and he's going to be going to his death. During that time, three times Peter's accused of being a follower of Jesus, and each time he denies the accusation. He ends up cursing and saying he doesn't even know the man. And in that moment, Peter forgot his first love, out of fear that he might be arrested as well. He then distances himself from Jesus. You know, we have a lot of reasons for forgetting that first love. You know, sometimes it's laziness. Sometimes it's a love for a particular sin. Sometimes it's disappointment in Jesus and some tough circumstances we've had to go through. But I believe many of us can relate to Peter. We know what it's like to love Jesus with our whole heart and then at the same time to kind of keep Jesus at arm's length from us. And if you were to look at just over the past 7 days, this last week, you know, how much of your day would point to your love of God? When you're having conversations with coworkers, does God ever come up? When you're having a phone conversation with a friend, does Jesus come up in that conversation? When things are tough, do you bring your concerns to Jesus first, or is it kind of a last resort? Well, the good news in this story of Peter doesn't end with his denial of Jesus. His love is renewed, and it gives us hope that we can be renewed as well. And so after Jesus is laid in the tomb and the disciples go back to doing what they know, they go back to fishing. And they were devastated that the man that they thought was going to be the Messiah, that he's now dead. They don't understand. And so Peter must have been the most distraught as he thought about those and just felt guilty about having denied his relationship with Jesus. So after fishing all night, they had nothing to show for it. And suddenly from the shore comes a familiar voice. To their surprise, it's Jesus. And so Peter, overjoyed, leaps into the water and he swims to the shore. And Jesus made breakfast and he welcomes Peter to sit with him. So Jesus is offering Peter a second chance. And Jesus offers us a second chance as well. A renewed love, it's all about second chances. You know, sometimes marriage needs a second chance through counseling or going on a marriage retreat of renewing that marriage. Sometimes siblings or friendships need second chances as forgiveness is sought. And sometimes we as believers, we need second chance or a fifth chance or a 50th chance to find forgiveness for stumbling and missing the mark and living up to God's holiness. There's no end to the grace of God. We cannot exhaust the love of God. It is extended to us over and over and over again. Even though we fail to love God well, time and time again, God is always faithful in his love and commitment to us. So on that beach, Jesus renewed his commitment to Peter and gave Peter the chance to do the same. We find the story in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. It says, when they were finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. It's no mistake that Jesus addresses Peter three times to ask him if he loves him. Three times would be appropriate number since Peter had denied Jesus three times. But there's a very important aspect of the story that gets lost unless you look at the Greek words within the conversation between Jesus and Peter. And so the first two times that Jesus asked Peter if he loves him, he uses that Greek word agape. Agape, love. It's the highest form of love. It's the love that's sacrificial. It's a God-like love. Both times, Peter responds, he affirms his love by using the word phileo. Phileo is that brotherly love that exists between close friends. So as Jesus is renewing Peter's love, Jesus invites Peter to a commitment of love that has only been demonstrated by the death of Jesus on the cross for all people. And Peter responds with a lesser form of love. as if to recognize his limitations of loving as fully as he could with those denials just a few days before fresh in his mind. The final time Jesus asked about Peter's love, he uses the word that Peter has used twice. He uses phileo. And this third time, Peter confirms that he loves Jesus with a love that's equal to that question, with that phileo love. In a renewed love for Jesus, he does not demand a love of perfection. We just have this tendency to fall short of our ability to love Jesus the way Jesus has loved us. But he invites us still to love him and then wants that love for him to expand. And this is why a sincere love is a love that has the ability to grow over time. As we seek that experience of sanctification, as we seek that experience of having that perfect love where we can love the way God loves. And renewed love for Jesus, then, it's not this demand for perfection. So how would you describe your love for Jesus today? Maybe you've never decided to love Jesus in the first place. Please know that if that's you, you're fully loved by Jesus regardless of how you feel about him. There's nothing you can do to make Jesus love you less or cause him to love you more. You are loved perfectly by Jesus today as you are. But he doesn't keep us that place. As we respond to that love, he then has us expand and grow closer to him. And so if you're willing, you can respond to his agape love by placing your life into his hands. Or maybe you're someone who's been a believer for many years, but your love for Jesus has just kind of gotten stagnant, kind of lukewarm. You might even call it cold. And today you can allow Jesus to bring a renewed love by remembering his sacrificial love that he demonstrated for you on the cross. There's no amount of brokenness in our lives that can keep us from the love of God. When we love something, it's obvious. A love neglected is a love lost. Jesus offers us a second chance, and our love for God can again become the foundation of our life. This morning, I want to invite to renew your love for God and to recommit to fostering a relationship with him. And there's a couple of suggestions I have for you of ways to do this. The first one is to be sure you've created a special time and place to spend with God each day. You know, where we choose a location that's going to be free from distractions and just start with a small amount of time and allow that time to expand as he directs. But I want you to consider, you know, keeping a candle in this special place and to light it each time that you're going to spend time with God in prayer and reading the Bible. And if you want to begin to invest in your love in God this way, or if you want this to be a thing that increases in your life, I'm going to encourage you in just a moment to come up here and take one of these candles. And let it just be a reminder, I'm going to make sure I get time, I'm going to make sure that I'm connecting with God each day. Second suggestion is to take part in a random act of kindness. Choose to express your love for God by expressing love for somebody else. You know, buy someone's lunch in line. Shovel a neighbor's walk or driveway. Write a letter to an elderly person who doesn't have much family around. It's often through service of others that we rediscover our love for God as well. And so this morning, We're considering renewing in two ways, our purpose and our love for God. And so has God been speaking to you this morning at all? Have you been feeling a struggle inside of you on either of these issues, or maybe the Holy Spirit's talking to you about something completely different than I've been even talking about, but you sense that the Holy Spirit is wrestling with you, wanting you to go deeper in your relationship with God? I believe God wants to stretch us. I think this year is going to be a stretching for us at Living Water Church. I think he wants us to grow some deeper roots in our relationship with him. And so as we pray, I want you to know these altars, it's always open. This is a great place to come on and just kneel at the chair or the altar and just talk to God. Debbie's going to play in just a second. And while she's playing the piano, I want you just to have a few minutes of silence, just listening to the music, talking to God. And if you'd like to, come up and take a candle. If you'd like to, you can say a prayer. Whatever you feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I want you to do this as we listen to Debbie play. Let's close our eyes as we just focus in on what the Holy Spirit's saying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for creating each of us with a specific purpose. And thank you for loving us regardless of all our shortcomings and failings. Would you give each of us a clarity that only you can give about how we're doing in our purpose and keeping the first love of you alive and on fire? And as we're praying, if you feel that wrestling in your spirit about your purpose, that God is wanting to renew your purpose and lead you toward the real reason that He put here you here on this earth, that could be a scary thing, to release control of the path that has brought you to this day, to accept whatever He has for you. God, rarely do you tell us today what tomorrow will bring. If we say yes to your redirection, to your process of renewing our purpose, give us the courage to step out in whatever it is that you're directing us towards. Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly that next step of faith you want us to take. And as we continue praying, you know, maybe God is talking to you more about your love for Him. At one time it burned brightly. You were on fire for God. He was first in your life, but somehow life has taken over, and the Holy Spirit's showing you that you've lost your first love. Heavenly Father, I pray for revival. I pray for renewal. I pray for a holy fire to fall on anyone who needs your love to once again consume them. May you wash away the world's influence. God, would you be our heart's gardener and pull out those weeds that are choking our relationship with you. Give wisdom, and courage to those that you're calling into this deeper love and a deeper worship of you, God. And if anyone is here this morning and you would like to begin that relationship with Jesus or renew a relationship that's grown cold, today's your day to get that right with God by putting Jesus first in your life. Would you just pray this simple prayer with me inside of you as I pray it out loud and just say, Father, I know that I've messed up. I know that I've followed a purpose different than the one that you have for me. I've been living for myself and not for you. It's hurt me and it's hurt others. Please forgive me. I want to live for you. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sins and that you were raised from the dead. I want to follow you, Jesus, as the leader and Lord of my life from this day forward as part of your church. And we all pray this in Jesus' precious and holy and mighty name. Amen.